Shall we pray together? Dear God, we come today, and we're just so thankful for this privilege of being in your house today. We can gather ourselves together and sing these songs of praise. And this morning, we want to thank you for Jesus. And we know without him, we can do nothing. And Father, in particular, we're coming. We want to offer prayer on behalf of our dear sister Smith, who will be traveling. And we're asking you, Lord, to give her traveling grace. You'll be with her as she travels, that she'll reach her destination safely. She'll have an enjoyable time, and she can return back to us once again. And Father, this morning we are praying for those who may be bereaved and troubled in heart. I still hear your voice coming down through the centuries saying, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. And Father, as we come now to administer your word, give us a prophetic voice. Give us a prophetic word. We know that your word is living and is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that it never comes back to you void. And this morning, we will be so careful to give you the thanks and the praise for all that you do and all that you are. We ask it in him who died upon the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary, the one who got up from the grave never to die again. We ask it in his name. Let's say together, amen. 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 The prophet Isaiah, as God spoke through him and said, God, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer of his hosts. He said that I am God, and beside me there is no other. This morning, God is God all by himself. God is in a class all by himself. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I just think in view of that, we ought to praise him. I said we ought to praise him. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord, because he's worthy. I said he's worthy to be praised. This morning, if you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention this morning to two scriptural sites. I want to call your attention, first of all, to the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. The chapter is 13, the verses are 44 through 46. And the second site or place is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, and Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. If you have that, say amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, if you will go with me to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verses 16 and 17. And it reads, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Using that reading, I want to talk from the subject, the good and the bad, about selling out. The good and the bad about selling out. The English language is a rich and varied language. It conveys meanings. It is perhaps the language in which there are more words than any other language in the world. And many times as we use the English language, as we speak the English language, many times the word out is used with verbs. Sometimes we talk about helping out. Sometimes we talk about drop out. Sometimes we talk about figuring it out. Sometimes we talk about finding out. Sometimes we talk about being knocked out. Can you say amen to that? And so many times we use the word out with verbs because it is a very unique language. Sometimes we talk about bought out. Sometimes we talk about come out. But this morning we want to talk about selling out. Selling out. Now, of course, selling out is not a positive term, but I want to show you in this lesson the good part about selling out. Usually when we talk about somebody selling out, we're talking about somebody who has sold their integrity, who has sold their morality, who has sold their principles in order to gain money, to gain success, or some other personal gain. Sometimes the word sell out has reference to somebody who's a traitor. Judas sold Jesus out. Can you say amen to that? He sold Jesus out. Amen. And so this word many times is not used in a positive sense. Sometimes they say if a musician is no longer playing the genre of music that he played, that he has sold out. Sometimes we say that politicians sell out. Sometimes we say that comedians sell out. Sometimes preachers sell out. Is that all right? So selling out is not necessarily a good term. You don't want nobody to call you a sellout. Hello. Unless you sold out for the right cause. I want to show you in this lesson today that there is a bad part about selling out, and also there's a good part about selling out. Let's think about the bad part. Can we do that? In the book of Genesis, Brother Spelling read so beautifully. And you know, he has some tough words. Yeah. You know, usually when you're reading the Old Testament, you better get some help. Because those words can be kind of tough, is that right?
That's right.
But that brother hung in there with those words. And in the book of Genesis, we read about two brothers, two twin brothers. And a lot of time when you read the stories about the Bible, you can learn about people. You know, it's important in life that you understand people and learn as much as you can about people. Yeah, you can get book sense, but you better understand people. Is that all right? Because it takes an understanding of people to make it in this world. Well, the story is told in the Old Testament that there was a man named Isaac who married a woman named Rebecca. Is that all right? And that they had two sons. They had two sons. And they were twin sons. And one of the sons was, the firstborn son was called Esau. He was very red. He had a very reddish complexion, and from which we get the word Edom. And then there was another son of the second born son of the twin boys was named Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when these sons were born. And Esau grew up to be a very skillful and cunning outdoorsman and a hunter. Jacob was a quiet man who kind of stayed at home and dwelt among the tents. But Jacob also was a double crosser. David was a trickster. Yeah. There are some folks in this world who will double cross you. Did you hear what I said? There are some folks in this world who will get over on you. Mm-hmm. See, Jacob still ain't dead. Is that all right? And Jacob, the only thing that mattered about Jacob was getting ahead. You know, nothing wrong with getting ahead, but don't step on people. Don't walk on people. Don't mistreat people in order to get ahead. There's a right way to get ahead. There's a wrong way to get ahead. But in Jacob's mind, everybody was fair game. If Jacob could get over, it didn't matter if he was his kin's person or not. He would get over. Even his twin brother was fair game as far as Jacob was concerned. So one day, as the opportunity moved along, Esau was out hunting and he came in, was very hungry, very exhausted, very tired. And Jacob was at home cooking some red lentil stew or pottage. And it was smelling good. You know, sometimes when you're really hungry and somebody's cooking something good, and man, your stomach gets to talking to you. Is that right? So Esau came in and told Jacob, give me some of that red lentil stew. And Jacob, always the opportunist, is looking for an opportunity to cut a deal. And Jacob said to his brother, firstborn brother, sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. And Esau said to him, watch this now, I want you to see this. Esau said to him, now Esau is the firstborn. Esau said, what good is a birthright to me now and I'm starving? Jacob said, brother, he said, swear to me. Swear you're going to do it. Swear it. Esau said, man, I'm hungry. Yeah. And he took an oath, took a solemn oath, and sold his birthright. And he sat down and ate, drunk some water, went his way, and the Bible makes a statement, and it is astounding. It said, and Esau despised his birthright. He sold his birthright for a single meal. I want you to think about that. What are we selling? And at what price? Is that all right? And then, in order for you to understand, now the Bible says, now Moses is the writer of the Pentateuch. He's the writer of these books. And Moses seems to be stunned because I want you to turn your Bibles back to Genesis 25 and 34. The last verse that Brother Sperling read, there's a comment made. There's a comment made. Genesis, turn back to Genesis 25 and look at verse number 34. And it says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised, look at that word, despised his birthright. That is, it doesn't mean despised in the sense that we use the word. It meant that he didn't value it. He didn't think it was worth much. Is that all right? And as a result, he sold it for a single meal. It appears that Moses is stunned that Esau would do something like this, would sell his birthright. Yeah. Well, the Bible uses this as a teachable moment. Because not only does the Bible make a comment in the Old Testament about what Esau did, but even in the New Testament, a commentary is given over what he did. Now, in order for us to understand the importance of the birthright, let me give you four important ideas about the birthright. Let me give you four important concepts about the birthright. Because the birthright in the ancient world, you know, none of us control the order in which we are born. Yeah. Huh? But do you not know being born first was huge in the ancient world? Being the firstborn meant something. I remember my oldest brother always tell her, I'm the firstborn. Yeah. I said, Negro, you ain't living in a Jewish society. He would always talk about, I'm the firstborn. Well, in the ancient world, the firstborn, to be firstborn was honored. It was important. It was valuable. Number one, here's why. The firstborn in the ancient world had a right to a double portion of his father's goods. Yeah. A double portion of his father's goods. Everything his father owned, everybody else got a single portion, but the firstborn got a double portion. This, in effect, made him the ruler over his father's house. Yeah. Number two, the firstborn birthright meant that the firstborn could confer blessings upon his posterity or his offspring. You ever heard of generational curses? Now, well, sometime, unfortunately, if the mother is a welfare mother, unfortunately, in some cases, the daughters become welfare mothers. And it's almost like a vicious cycle. Well, in Bible days, they could confer blessings on people. Yeah. Is that all right? Number three, the birthright meant that he had the right of priesthood, which meant that he was the patriarchal religious leader of the family. Mm-hmm. And number four, the birthright meant that he was the custodian of the promise of the seed of the Messiah. And Brother Ben, Esau sold all of that for a bowl of oatmeal. Are y'all all right? Mm-hmm. He sold all of that. He sold out for a bowl of oatmeal. But if you want to have it, a bowl of lentil soup, how about that? Y'all like lentil soup? Yeah, I like it too, Sister Sperling. But I ain't going to sell my house for a bowl of it. Is that all right? I won't sell my soul for it. Is that all right? The New Testament talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, It says that this is a teachable moment. And the Hebrew Christian in the book of Hebrews, they were about to leave Christianity. They were about to leave Christ. They were about to go back to Judaism. And he said, you're going to make the same mistake that Esau made. This is a teachable moment. He said, don't let it be a fornicator. And if you choose fornication over eternal life, you're selling out. I expect much on that, Jesus. Is that all right? But I got to tell it like it is. He said, a profane person. A profane person is a person whose life is controlled by appetites. The devil will use your appetites against you. And he just won't leave me alone by that bluebell ice cream. I'm trying to get him to leave me alone, or he won't do it. Is that all right? If I don't buy it, I have to go by there and look at it. Amen. The devil will use your appetites against you. Ever been on a diet and you call yourself on a diet and you said you're going to do right and then you gave in and then you felt bad about it? Just wink your eye. You ain't got to tell everybody. Just wink your eye. You ain't got to tell everybody your business. Is that all right? But the devil will use your appetites against you. Amen. And that's what he did in Esau's case. Jacob played him. He played his brother. And his brother sold out. Yeah. And the question is, what in the world was Esau thinking? What in the world was Esau doing? And sometimes I have to ask myself, what in the world are you thinking? What in the world are you doing? When it comes down to my salvation. Is that all right? And so Esau, now the word profane means somebody who's not fit for the temple. It means someone who cannot enter the temple. And you can sell out and miss heaven. Is that all right? So Esau, listen, became reckless. He was reckless. And reckless means a lack of thought about danger or undesirable consequences. Reckless. Yeah. Reckless folks make this world dangerous. Man. A reckless driver can cause a 17-car pileup. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? All right. A reckless airline pilot can kill a whole plane of people. Is that all right? A reckless surgeon will kill folks on the operating table. A reckless pharmacist will send folks home with the wrong medicine. A reckless jury will send people, innocent people, to jail, even the death row. Reckless preachers and teachers will send unsuspecting folks to hell. For if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. And I raise the question, am I reckless about my salvation? Sometimes I come to church, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I give, sometimes I don't. Am I being reckless about my salvation? Am I selling my birthright? And if you are a member of the Church of Christ, you are a member of the church of the firstborn. Amen. Which means all of us who are Christian have firstborn privileges. Right. Did you know that? Did you know you were firstborn? And all of us in the body of Christ have firstborn privileges. Amen. Ain't that good news? Yes, Lord, ain't that good news? So that's the bad part about selling out. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you about the, can I tell you about the good part? Right. Here's the good part. You know, everybody is not on the same level. Mm-hmm. We're not all on the same level. Amen. We're on different levels right here in this audience today. Amen. Is that right? Right? I mean, it's nothing wrong. You hear people say, I'm trying to move to the next level. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to all be trying to improve socially, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. Nothing wrong with trying to improve and go to the next level. Is it? There's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You've heard that? Well, Kenneth Higby say the quickest way to become an old dog is stop learning new tricks. Is that all right? So you got to keep on doing what? You got to keep on learning. And then there are different levels of consciousness. We're not on the same level consciously. Is that right? The Bible says that there are some people, it says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. That consciously they are alive physically, but spiritually they are dead. There are some people who are dead to God and alive to the world. There are some people who are alive to God, rather dead to the world and alive to God. So we live on different levels consciously. You see, a person who is spiritually healthy, and of course a man that's healthy, he participates in life better than a man that's sick. Can you say amen to that? That's a different level, isn't it? When a man is spiritually healthy, you don't have to tell him to come to worship. He wants to come. When a man is spiritually healthy, you don't have to tell him to give. He want to give. Is that right? We all on different levels. There are some people on such a low level, they don't even come to church. They selling out. Hello? Is that right? You mean to tell me you're going to sell your soul for a party? I wish I had some help here. Huh? Like the man said, loving you is wrong. Oh, y'all gonna get quiet now, huh? Is that all right? And as a result, they're selling out. But here's a good part about selling out. Matthew 13. Jesus said a man made a discovery. There are some things in life, church, that's too good to let get away. Did you hear what I say? There are some things in life that's too good to let get away. Is that all right? Some things in life you shouldn't let get away. Jesus said a man one day found a treasure. It was hid in a field. And when he discovered that treasure, the Bible said that he went and sold out. He sold all that he had in order to buy that field. He sold out. That's a good part of selling out. Merchant man was looking for a goodly pearl. Found that good pearl. Went and sold all that he had. Came back and sold out. And he sold out to get the money he needed to buy the pearl. That's the good part about selling out. Is that all right? Well, one day, I'm moving to a conclusion. One day, when Jesus Christ had been crucified, had been in the grave for 3 days, the third day he got up, the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist, and he said, I got the power. Amen. Didn't he say that? He said, I got the power, because all power in heaven and in earth is given. Where is it given to? Unto. And as a result, he said, go and make disciples. Church, we need to make disciples. That's what the Lord say do. Well, how did he say do it? He says baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. When you make a disciple, one of the best definitions I ever heard of a disciple is, a disciple is a learner. Mm-hmm. A learner. Who's the teacher? Jesus. He is. Now watch, two things all of us need in our lives. I don't care how old you are or how positively mature you are. Because ain't no old folk, we just positively mature. Did you hear what I said? Guy was telling me one day, I was on tennis court, Moss, you get no, I said, speak for yourself. You don't speak for me. Is that all right? Because I'm positively mature. Amen. But all of us need two things in our life. I don't care where you are. Two things you're going to always need. Development and management. When you are a disciple, we ought to sell out to be a disciple. That means you sell out to Jesus. You let him teach you. And when he teaches you and gives you wisdom and guidance and understanding, his teaching will help you to develop your life and to manage your life. That's the problem in a lot of lives. They're not developed, and they're not managed. Sometimes somebody can hit the lottery. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go get no lottery ticket. Hello, lights. You ever wonder sometimes why some people can hit the lottery, got millions of dollars, and then in a little while they broke? You ever wondered why? They couldn't manage. Huh? Let me tell you, let you know a little secret. If you spend all the money you make, then you're not managing. Hello? I ain't expect much on that either. Every one of us in here ought to have a savings account. Every one of us in here ought to have a savings account. Huh? I mean, you like every time you get paid off, you give folks all your money. You like not having no money. You like whenever you need something, you got to go ask somebody. Get much help in Jesus. Jesus, what's going on, Jesus? Is that right? All of us need to learn how to develop ourselves and manage ourselves. And that's what a disciple is. He's a learner who takes the teaching of the Lord and it leads him to self development and self-management. In other words, I'm getting better at my life. How many say I'm getting better? Amen. I'm getting better. I'm not what I ought to be, Brother Ben, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. Is that all right? In every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed. And I shall be blessed. That's the theme of my life. Amen. That'll be your theme. Is that all right? Amen. Just because you're going through problems don't mean you ain't blessed. Sometimes the problem is a blessing. Amen. I know you can't see that. Amen. But sometimes the very problem you going through is a blessing. Amen. Is that all right? And when you sell out to Jesus, you ought to sell out to him. Is that all right? Amen. You sell out to Jesus, He'll become your Alpha and Omega. You sell out to Jesus, he'll become your beginning and your end. You sell out to Jesus, he'll become the first and your last. Is that all right? You sell out to Jesus, he'll become the strength of your life. You sell out to Jesus, he'll become the positive power of your life. You sell out to Jesus, he'll be the wisdom of your life. You sell out to Jesus, he'll be the goal of your life. Is that all right? You sell out to Jesus, he'll be the hope of your life. When you sell out to him, you'll say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him. Y'all gonna help me crown him. Crown him. Lord of all. You ought to sell out to Jesus. I'm sold out. Fully committed. Let me tell you a story and I'm gonna quit. There's a fable told that one day a man was riding a camel across a riverbed. And out of the darkness, a voice said, halt! So he stopped on his camel. The voice then said, dismount! He complied, he dismounted. The voice then said, pick up some gravel out of the riverbed. He complied, he picked up the gravel out of the riverbed. The voice said, mount up! He mounted up. And the boy said, ride on. He said, in the morning, you're going to be both glad and sad. So true enough, when the sun came up that morning, when daybreak, he looked at the gravel he picked up out of the riverbed. And he was sad and glad because he picked up the gravel. It was not gravel. It was precious stones and gems. He was glad he picked up some. He was sad he hadn't picked up more. Is that all right? But I'm telling you back, when you pick up Christ, you'll never be sad. Is that all right? When you pick up Jesus Christ, you'll always be glad. Is that all right? So I'm urging you this morning as I go to my seat, I'm urging you to sell out. Is that all right? Anybody ready to sell out for Jesus? Well, Jesus said, he said a long time ago, I am the way, yeah. I'm the truth, yes, and I'm the life. Right. God looks, he sits high, and God looks low. Is that all right? Yeah. I heard somebody say, thou hast been our dwelling place, yeah, throughout all generations. Before the mountain were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Is that all right? I know man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Is that all right? And God knows whether I've sold out to evil. And God knows whether I've sold out to good. Is that all right? And that's why I ought to sell out to Jesus Christ. Is that all right? I ought to sell out to the name of Jesus Christ because his name is the dome of all vocal grandeur. Is that all right? His name is the sweetest name on earth. His name is the greatest name on earth. Why? Because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Is that all right? If you don't know him, you ought to run to him. Is that all right? Why? Because a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as ripples of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock. Is that all right? If you know him, you ought to stay with him. Is that all right? Because you're in good hands with Jesus Christ. Is that all right? I need somebody to say this morning, I'm fully committed to Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Yes. I give my life, yeah, fully. Come on. Fully. I need some help here. Fully committed to Jesus Christ. Right. I'm sold out. Yeah. Can anybody say I'm fully committed? I'm sold out, yeah, to Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay with the church. Is that all right? Y'all might put me out of here, but I ain't leaving Jesus. Is that all right? I'm going to stay with the Lord. Why? Because I'm sold out. I'm sold out. I'm sold out to the Lord. And I don't want to sell my birthright. Is that all right? I know I might be having a good time down here, but ain't nothing more important than Jesus. And I'm not going to sell my soul for a bowl of a good time. Not going to sell my soul to let my hair down. Is that all right? And I'm fully committed. So on behalf of Jesus Christ, on behalf of Jesus, I'm speaking on behalf of Jesus this morning. I'm representing him. I am his spokesman. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And on his behalf, isn't that wonderful? On his behalf, I invite you to sell out to Jesus. Amen. On his behalf, I invite you to come from darkness to light. Yeah. On his behalf, I invite you to come from death to life. Amen. On his behalf, I invite you to come from alienation to reconciliation. On his behalf, I invite you to come from condemnation to salvation. On his behalf. That's the way to put it. Because Moss ain't got a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. Well. But on Jesus' behalf, yes, I want to invite you to sell out. That's all right. Will you sell out this morning? Amen. Will you sell out for the right cause?
Yes.
The right reason?
Come on.
And let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace represents all that Jesus did to secure our salvation. All right. Faith is my response to what Jesus has done. And on his behalf, I invite you to eternal life. What a privilege.
Amen.
On his behalf, I invite you to heaven. Mm-hmm. Is that all right? On his behalf, I invite you to the abundant life. Do you want that?
Yes.
Are you willing to sell out to have it?
Yes.
He told a rich young ruler, you got to go sell out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, go sell out, young man. And he wasn't willing to do it. But Brother Mars, the gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. What does obedient faith look like? Here's what it looks like. You know what the obedience of faith is? It is to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
The euangelion. Mm-hmm. It is to believe it. It is to repent of your sins.
All right.
It is to confess the sweetest name to ever roll from mortal tongue. The name of Jesus is the dome of all vocal grandeur. There is no name greater than that name.
Amen.
You ought to confess that name. At that name, the cripple walk.
Yes.
At that name, the blind can see. Mm-hmm. At that name, the dead are given life.
Yeah.
It's the sweetest name on earth. On his behalf, mm-hmm, I invite you to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you're selling out. Amen?
Amen.
I'm turning my back on the world. And I'm selling out. Selling out. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I'm selling out,
yes,
to Jesus. Stand on your feet. That's the message. Thank you so much for being here. That's our message this morning.
All right.
Soul out. Soul out. Sometimes the concept sell out, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you got sometimes you got folks who stand in line to get a football ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
All right? Stand in line to go to a concert, to go to a Beyonce concert.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get much help here. Stand in line to go to a Temptation concert. Old school. that right?
That's right.
Stand in line to go to an OJ concert.
Yeah.
They tell you when you get to the door, we sold out. Mm. You get so mad, you sold out. You mean to tell me I've stood in this line all this time and you sold out? I mean to tell you we sold out. Is that all right? But wouldn't it be so much better to sell out?
All right.
Sell out to Jesus. And on his behalf,
yes.
I'm inviting you to eternal life. That's a personal invitation from Jesus.
Man.
You gonna say no to Jesus? You mean tell me you gonna say no to Jesus? I'm representing him. In a sense, I am an ambassador for Jesus.
That's right.
So I speak for the master. Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. You know who she, you know whose pleasure she served at? President Obama. Mm-hmm. John Kerry now is the Secretary of State. You know whose pleasure he serves at? President Obama. You know whose pleasure every preacher serves at? King Jesus.
Right.
Is that all right? And on his behalf, say it again, on his behalf,
amen.
I invite you to eternal life. Do you want that? You want eternal life? You want it?
Amen.
Well, why don't you come get it? I was talking to a young man one day. I said to him, Sister Blanson, I said, man, if I had $1 million and put it on this table, would you come get it? Yeah. I said, when? Now? I said, I got something bigger than that.
All
right. I got something bigger than that.
Yes.
I got an invitation for unsearchable riches. Do you want that?
Yeah.
You got to sell out.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And when you do, your blessing will be on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, I come to receive,
my blessing.
Patiently waiting. For the harvest.
For the harvest is mine.
I got the Hebrews. The counterfeit. And it's mine.
It's mine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, I come.
To receive my blessing.
Patiently waiting.
For the harvest.
I got the Hebrews 11.
The counterfeit. And it's mine.
It's mine.
Oh, yeah.